The Public Accounts Committee is currently conducting an inquiry into planning and the broken housing market, questioning officials from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government on how the department will achieve its ambition for 300,000 new homes a year from the mid-2020s. I'm joined today by Sue Chadwick, Strategic Planning Advisor at law firm Pinsent Masons LLP, who says that the Fourth Industrial Revolution could help fix the broken housing market. Welcome to our studio, Sue.
Hello, nice to be here.
Before we dig into the details, could we just first outline for anyone unfamiliar with the term what you mean when you say the Fourth Industrial Revolution?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It came into being through a book on the same title called by Klaus Schwab, and he didn't give one definition. He said it's characterised by a number of different elements, which I think we're probably all aware of in different ways nowadays. He talked about smart manufacturing and smart factories integrating physical and digital labour being one of those elements. But the other elements were the Internet of Things, the way that our devices increasingly talk to us and to each other, the replacement of physical labour with automation, including robotics and machine learning. He also talked about the new developments in technologies that are coming through, the ones that we don't know about yet, like nanotechnology, biotechnology and quantum computing. And I'm already using words that I'm not sure I know the meaning of. But then he also characterized it in a way that I think previous industrial revolutions haven't been, which is he said that all of this is happening and it's happening really quickly. Mm. And speed itself is one of the characteristics of that industrial revolution.
So looking at how all of this this digital revolution, this remarkable advance in technology that's happening all around us could be applied to planning.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the ways that you think it could help the planning system in the years to come and therefore the delivery of housing?
Mm. Well, if I could look at delivery of housing first, because as well as the report on the broken housing market with the Public Accounts Committee, last week the House of Lords talked about something called MMC, which is Modern Methods of Construction. There's a 7-point definition of that came out just last week. And it goes from everything from off-site building to wearables, drones, robotics on construction sites. And that was debated in the House of Lords in less than a week ago. And they talked about all kinds of things that would help deliver housing using the new MMC. They said it would reduce time and cost of construction, which is the obvious one. But they also looked at ways that it might reduce inequality in the construction industry, because a lot of the off-site construction happens undercover. So it would enable a more aging workforce to be construction workers and more women to be construction workers. They talked about the way that it can use more of the biotech, which is sustainable. And all of those things together could help speed up the way housing is delivered. So this is how housing could be changed by the Fourth Industrial Revolution. In terms of planning generally, unfortunately, planning is already loaded with acronyms, and there's two more coming through as well as MMC. There's something called BIM, which I think construction people will be quite familiar with, Building Information Management, where you conceptualize your building before you build it. You run through the way it's built to iron out the problems by building a digital model of how it might work. And that both makes it easier to cut costs and make the building system easier, but it also enables engagement with many more people on a much wider level. And then the other one is City Information Management, or SIM, and this is the one that people don't know that much about yet, but could also transform planning, because it enables you to, again, project a digital future of a city's change before you implement it, so that you can model the change before it happens. And then once the city is up and running, it can help by harvesting data from all sorts of sources to manage utilities resources, transport management, and understand social trends, the way people are using buildings, without having to do long, complicated, paper-based consultation exercises. So MMC, BIM and SIM, they're all new acronyms, and they could all really transform the way that housing and planning are delivered in the next decade even.
so that we're able to reap the rewards of these advances, what do you believe the government has to do to adapt the existing planning regime?
Well, there's all sorts of things the government could do to adapt the existing planning regime, and the Public Accounts Committee debated them in great detail. In terms of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, there are some simple things that could be done right now. The construction industry is really familiar with terms like BIM and SIM and MMC. They're not in the NPPG. There's no planning guidance about how to integrate them. And there's certainly no, there's no 106s that yet require them. They're not in the building regulations. So I'm wondering why, when the construction industry is so far ahead, planning policy is, for once, quite far behind on this one. And the other element, I think, will be more difficult to address, but is arguably much more urgent, which is that so much of this digital connectivity and improvement will be facilitated by 5G. At the moment, if you think 5G, you think Huawei and the debate about whether or not and who said who to what and who leaked what. But there is a much bigger importance of 5G in terms of delivering Fourth Industrial Revolution, because it will deliver data at enormously faster speeds, which will enable robotics and drones and video technology to occur at a much faster rate than it is now. If you have the ability to connect to 5G, you are in the position of somebody in the previous revolution being next to a new railway line. But if you haven't got it, then you are out in the sticks, and you could be in the middle of a city centre and out in the sticks in terms of digital connectivity. And similarly, if you had the right pocket of rural land, you could be hyper-connected and able to take advantage of all of the changes. But I don't think people are yet aware that 5G is going to be as important as water, electricity, in terms of being able to take advantage of all these other new changes.
And how do you foresee the timescale on that one?
Well, I'm with the author of this book. It is all happening faster than we anticipated. I think I remember when 4G came in and I wanted a phone with 4G, and it doesn't seem very long ago. And now Huawei are saying there will be 5G phones by the end of the year. And that's the commercial side of it. In terms of governmental, it's probably going to be in place, you know, this time next year. For technology driven by 5G will be here. And that, I think, is faster than anybody's ready for. They're probably not the phone manufacturers. They're probably way ahead of us on that one.
And then, so returning to the actual delivery of housing by the construction industry, I mean, how would you describe the opportunities that are out there for house builders to embrace these innovations and help get the right number of the right type of houses built more quickly?
Now, that's the killer question, really. And the debate in the House of Lords was clear that a number of the big house builders are already implementing smart construction methods. They're obviously clearly aware of the ability of this new technology to transform the way we deliver. There are all sorts of off-site construction businesses setting up. There is no cohesive approach at the moment, and they do need large off-site premises, so that we do need to be able to plan for that. And in addition, the House of Lords saw this as something that would enable the SME builders to really take advantage of. And again, I'm not sure whether the government's doing very much to promote MMC and all of these other changes to those smaller builders, because if they are agile enough, they can take advantage. And both the House of Lords and the government seem to be keen to do that, to allow this new technology to facilitate that. But there's definitely not enough known about it at the moment in planning the way there is in construction.
I imagine one of the key drivers, as always, must be sort of profit. I suppose that's what will encourage builders to embrace technological advances that bring greater efficiencies in the process.
And unlike many other industries where you are worried about automation taking jobs, the construction industry has a shortage. So it's actually one of the very few industries which really should be embracing automation, robotics as much as it can, because it will save money and solve the crisis in skills in construction at the same time.
Are there any legal hurdles that stand in the way of that?
Of course there are. Of course there are. I think there's a problem with 5G, there's nothing about it in planning policy, whereas I think it should also almost be a building regulation. But there's two immediate legal issues, I think, for planning lawyers. The use classes order, I was just saying to before the interviewer, is just saying that the use classes order came in when Rick Astley was in the charts singing Never Gonna Give You Up. That is a very long time ago.
He's still very, in the age of the meme, he's still very
He's
very
still
current.
Around. He's in better shape than the use classes order. The use classes order is very clearly drafted at a time, a very long time ago. It's more than 30 years since the 1987 use classes order. And obviously it's been changed, but it's forever catching up. You know, they took such a long time to catch up to betting shops. And look at the damage that's been done to the high street as a result. It is no way anticipating the kind of 24-hour uses that could come in when we start to try and fix the high street. There's so much opportunity to put diversified 24-hour uses in. The use classes order is absolutely woefully out of date and really needs to be updated. So that's one major legal issue for the government to consider. But the other one, and I'm not going to talk about the details of the case law, but there is a case from just 3 years ago where a local authority was consulting on strategic environmental assessment. And for part of that consultation, they used e-consultation and they used e-consultation only. And the decision to go forward with the plan was challenged partly on the basis that they'd done that. And the judge in the Court of Appeal confirmed that an e-consultation could not satisfy the EIA regulations. Now, again, you know, we really do need to overcome these prejudices towards automated e-consultation, e-engagement, because not only was that going to then put a major stop in the way of making changes happen, but to a certain extent, it is discriminating against people who automatically use the internet as a way of communicating. So there's two legal issues before we get on to the data management implications of smart cities, which is a massive area of law. So yes, definitely legal hurdles.
It's not always easy to get the judiciary to embrace societal change of that kind. And I imagine that there must be other legal implications for the construction industry in terms of negligence and all that kind of things. There must be a minefield when employing new technology and relying on that.
I mean, we talk about AI and we talk about the moral ethics, and that's one big area that probably planning, well, we say planning won't have to get involved in, but when we have buildings that are not just talking to other elements of the built form, but potentially talking to, you know, your Apple Watch and my Fitbit, and integrating what they're finding out about our physical reactions into what we buy or use, then there are going to be major ethical implications and data implications there, and developers will need to build in data management the way that they think about traffic management, I think, because they're going to be harvesting and generating all of this new data.
So with those difficulties in mind, how confident are you that the correct steps will be taken in the years to come? And is there any hope that in, say, 5 or 10 years' time, we won't have the need to be still talking about a broken housing market?
Well, the 1909 Act was introduced, and even before there was planning, they were complaining about the delays in planning. And they were also saying that there weren't enough good quality houses for the working classes. I think so long as we're talking about housing and housing everybody, there will be complaints that it is a broken housing market. But the government does appear to be waking up to this. The House of Lords is certainly waking up to the opportunities here. There are currently inquiries on modern methods of construction, on automation and work, on distributed data, on the fourth industrial revolution and education. There is also there's a green paper coming out on accelerated planning. My answer to your question will probably be, I will have hope if that green paper has elements in it that talk about MMC and BIM and SIM and how this can change. If it is simply another tweak to the permitted development regime, or speeding up Section 106 agreements, then I think my answer will be, I have no hope. The opportunity is there. We haven't seen the green paper yet. hopefully that will be this beginning of integrating planning with the developments in the fourth industrial revolution.
So it's an exciting area to be working in?
It's the first time I've been excited about something in planning for a very long time. It's a genuinely new thing that we can grapple with.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking with us today. And we hope to have you back in the studio soon.
Good, thank you.